Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Green Divas radio show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Lynn.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. We're having fun.
Rock on.
Well, we are kind of bubbly and I'm punchy, but because we've just come off this fabulous 21-day cleanse, right?
I know. This is fabulous. Challenging and fabulous.
Yeah, I'm a bit punchy because I'm on the juice only day. But if you listen up, you will hear not only our Green Divas Health and Beauty segment, where we talk about this in more detail, but also this was Rainbow Mars's program, her superstar 21-day superstar cleanse.
Yeah.
And I talked to her all about it as the feature interview, too. And she is so cool. Did you see the pictures of her playing volleyball with Orlando Bloom in Malibu?
No. I did not see those photos.
I'm so jealous. And she said, even though Orlando was, what did she say, attention-seeking. And I wrote, I'm jealous even if Orlando is attention-seeking. Even if he is, he's still cool.
Yeah, he's pretty cute.
Yeah, she has fun out there. Man, she's got some fun friends. And anyway, so listen up for that. We also have a really interesting green dude, an actor, poet, activist.
Genealogist.
Genealogist, which is interesting. Lawrence Overmeyer. And that I really enjoyed speaking with him, so I think you're going to really be interested in that one. And GD's Heart Wildlife. Yes, we do.
Yes, that's with Lori Bird from the Center for Biological Diversity.
Yeah.
What did she talk about this time?
She talked about neonicotinoids.
Right.
And how it is affecting wildlife. We know that it's affecting bees, of course, and pollinators, but there's more to it. And so it's important that we pay attention, people.
Absolutely.
So let's see. And what else? You know, we finally, you know, I have had the show on SoundCloud in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we have so many different platforms for podcast that I kind of veered away from it. But we went back to it for a couple of reasons, and not the least of which is those are just the coolest players, man.
Yeah, those are pretty cool.
And we've heard from people that they like that platform, and so we thought, okay, all right.
It seems like a lot more, I don't know, like, seems like more people are around there for some reason, or maybe just more people I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Than some of the other players, although a lot of people, you know of iHeartRadio, which is another place that
we're at.
And of course iTunes.
Yeah.
Everybody knows iTunes.
Everybody knows iTunes.
But
and Stitcher.
SoundCloud tends to be a little bit more interactive because you have your own account. You can repost podcasts from other people.
Yeah, there is a sort of sharing aspect of social interaction.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah. So you can catch us now on SoundCloud. Look for GD Radio or The Green Divas. I'm sure we come up either way.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of GD Radio, people, have you gotten the app yet? Because you got to get the app so you can listen from your mobile device. You can listen from your car through your mobile device.
Right?
Come on. It's kind of fun when you turn on. I love turning on GD radio when I'm in the car.
Especially when you can listen to yourself, right?
Well, it's just weird. Yeah. Well, it's just weird. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, whoa, I'm in the car radio. It almost feels like real.
I can't do that in my car. My car's too old.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. So eventually we'll get you up to speed.
Yeah, hopefully not too soon for reasons that, my car should be good for a while. It's 2003 and it only has 79,000 miles.
Yeah, you're doing all right. I drove your car. I liked your car. Mm-hmm. I love my Volkswagen Passat. So anyway, we got to close up this opening, but we have a lot of cool things to catch up on this week. So please listen up. And
the Green Divas.
Stay tuned.
Every Green Diva needs a sidekick. At the Green Divas radio show, they're called Green Dudes. Time now for a deeper shade of green from a guy's perspective.
Well, Well, I am really honored to speak to this gentleman who has the most fascinating biography, actually, because I'm reading up on him. I'm like, wow, this guy is like, he does everything, but it's all kind of circles back to consciousness. He's an author. He's a poet. He's an actor. And among other things, I mean, he's an activist and an advocate for peace, for the environment, for civil rights, human rights, animal rights, all of it. But Lawrence Overmeyer, today we're going to talk with Lawrence about Earth consciousness. Hi, Lawrence.
Hi, how you doing, Meg?
I'm good. And I'm sorry that I was just getting to the point of looking for some of your poetry, but I'm hoping that when we do a post to accompany this podcast, that we'll be able to, share some of your poetry.
Oh, that'd be great.
So talk to us about Earth consciousness and what that means to you.
Well, Earth consciousness is basically a shift that needs to happen. It's a fundamental shift in thinking and behavior that has to take place if we are going to save humanity in the long term. To achieve a healthy, sustainable world, we simply must develop this Earth consciousness. And what it is, really, in the way that I use the term, it's about having an awareness at all times of how our personal and communal actions, thoughts, and feelings affect the Earth itself and all life upon it.
Oh, beautifully put. And I forgot to mention that your book, which has a really nice title, is The Idea That Saves the World, A Call to Conscience and a Call to Action. Sorry.
Yeah, it's actually The One Idea That Saves the World.
Oh, okay.
And,
sorry.
The one idea is that we are one.
Right.
I mean, this is an idea that you've heard over and over again throughout time, basically. Artists, poets, scientists, philosophers, musicians, everybody is talking about the one idea. But
right.
we really haven't paid much attention to it. But what it's really about is that everything is interconnected. And scientists will tell you the same thing.
Yeah.
Consequently, we are dependent upon one another for our health and well-being. So when you suffer, I suffer. And when I suffer, you suffer. This is what Martin Luther King called the interrelated structure of reality. And if we really paid attention to all the interconnections, and we can also look at the environment, how a habitat
right.
is intricately interconnected. And when you affect one thing, there's a ripple effect which affects everything else. But in another way, it's also about personal power, because everything you do has a consequence.
Right.
It has a ripple effect that, in essence, goes throughout the universe. So you can make that effect a positive effect, or it could be a negative effect. So what I'm trying to do is trying to encourage people to become their best selves
yeah.
and to have a positive effect in whatever way they want to manifest that, in their communities, at their job, in their work. But be positive, and that will have an effect that's going to help the whole world.
Well, it's so important, and I apologize for missing the one point in the title. That's kind of ironic in a sad kind of way. Because I really, really get it. And it's like this constant challenge for me to continue to wake up and become aware that every action I have has a ripple effect. And, I'd like to think of myself as a fairly conscious human being, but it's like this process, this never-ending process of reminding myself to be more mindful, be aware, and for some folks, it's not a gentle awakening, but it is about awakening, right?
Right, and that's exactly what needs to happen. Each one of us has to, question ourselves and see how we affect others, and are we affecting people in a positive way or in a negative way?
Right.
I don't know about you, but when I look around me, and I'm a poet and an author, so I do a lot of observation.
Right.
But when I look around me at my friends, my neighbors, and people going about their daily business, I don't see much evidence of Earth consciousness of any kind. Most people are still driving gas-guzzling SUVs. They're They're eating unhealthy junk food. They're consuming products that are harmful to the environment. And on a political level, they're not paying attention to what their government and their political leaders are doing.
Right.
And all of this is perpetuating an unhealthy status quo. And those of us in the Green Movement know that the world is in big trouble. We're in the midst of social, political, spiritual, economic, and environmental upheaval.
Yeah.
And, you know, scientists and other concerned citizens have been sounding the alarm for decades. But still, our voices are not being heard enough to reverse the planetary devastation that is ongoing on all fronts. And some are even calling this the sixth great extinction.
Yeah.
And, you know, the path we are on right now is indeed a suicidal path, and we need to wake up. Many species will not survive, and unfortunately, humans could be among them.
Yeah, no, I'm acutely aware of that most days, and it can be almost overwhelmingly depressing. And then
I want to encourage people to focus on the positive,
right?
Because we really need to make this a positive movement. And, you know, I know that most people listening to this podcast are probably already involved in the Green Movement. I mean, they care about what's going on or they wouldn't be listening. But we should all be proud of the fact that we are leading the way to a better world. And in my view, there is no greater task. There's nothing we can do in this life at this moment in time that is as meaningful and as important as doing everything we can to protect and preserve the planet for the sake of all generations, past, present, and future.
Well, and I've just got to say that, you know, it's funny because we have done recently an episode, a Green Dude segment, in fact, with Rolly Montpellier about depression for people who are working in climate change, whether they're scientists or folks like us that hear this news constantly. And the Green Divas is all about helping find solutions and positive ways of looking at things and empowering people, you know, because there's nothing worse than throwing a wet blanket on someone and saying, you can't do anything about this.
Right.
It's like, oh, okay, I'll just sit here and freeze.
Right.
So I had a point and I think it just evaporated. You know,
well, one thing that I try to encourage people is to, you know, find people around you that care about the same things and that will support you. Because it is tough. I mean, you come up against so much negativity out there. So it's really important to find the people who give you a spark and inspire you in some way.
Because,
you know, we have to do this.
We really
have a moral imperative here.
That was my point. Was that part of what I do, you know, even though I'm in the midst of some very, you know, scary statistics, is that I get to talk to folks like you. And I hang up the phone or whatever, I stop recording, and I feel better. There's so many sparks out there that are so inspiring. And, you know, that makes my job so much more – well, for me, it's you know, it's all about balance and a way of life. But it does balance things out. And of course, that's what we're all about, is amplifying this.
And really, we're talking about the one idea. We're talking about that positive energy affecting other people, and then they pass that along. And it really does have a ripple effect. Of course, at this point of time, it's just not powerful enough. But I think there are signs that we're heading in the right direction. And I'm hopeful. I mean, we've got to hang on to our hope.
Yeah.
And just keep doing what we're doing and doing our work.
That and our sense of humor.
Yeah, that's important. That's really important.
So now you've got your book, and I know you have a blog with some of your poetry.
Yeah. So let's see. The best way to reach my poetry, you should probably just put lawrenceovermeyer.com.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my basic website. It's got links to a lot of my poems. If you got a moment, I could read a poem for you.
I would really love that. Thank
okay,
you.
I'm talking about the one idea here. So this poem relates to that.
Okay.
This poem is called Fiber. We forget that air is a substance. We can't see it, but it's there, connecting everything and everyone. With every breath, I take you in. Give back myself. We are in touch. No matter how far, the distance an illusion between that which is not and cannot be separated.
Oh, that is so beautiful. And it really does illustrate in words a beautiful picture of this connection. And while it seems invisible, it is indeed there.
Yeah, and I think one thing we lose track of is our connection to the really big picture, which is the whole universe.
Right.
I mean, we are star stuff, and yep. we're a part of it. And for me as a poet, it's kind of mind-boggling and awesome, and I kind of keep in touch with that.
Yeah. No,
it's also humbling at the same time, but it's so beautiful. It would be a real shame if we let it go.
Yeah, I every once in a while I get in this weird philosophical place where I think, well, I guess maybe we're done on this planet. I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't.
Yeah,
mean,
I sure hope not. And you know, I'm going to do everything I can to try to that not to be the case.
Right.
Just stay hopeful and positive and keep working.
Well, I'm looking forward to staying connected to you and talking to you more about all this wonderful stuff, which I think is inspiring. And I hope that folks listening will go check out Lawrence, and that's Laurence, Overmyer, Overmyer.com.
Yeah, and if you know, can I make one last point here?
Please.
The philosopher Buckminster Fuller once said, "On personal integrity hangs humanity's fate." And I think that's very true. If we're going to turn this around, each of us must have the integrity to do the right thing for the sake of all. And if we do, we will make a huge difference in the lives of others, and that in itself will not only help the planet, but will make our own lives infinitely rewarding.
Very, very well put. I often say it's an inside job. Like it all really starts from inside us. We got to take care of our own little ecosystem, and it
Absolutely.
All ripples
it starts
out
with
from
each
there.
One of us.
Thank you so much, Lawrence, and I look forward to talking with you more soon.
Oh, thank you. It was a real pleasure to be here.
Want more information on this Green Dude segment and other ideas for low-stress green living? Go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
Green Divas Heart Wildlife. Who can resist all those videos and images of adorable baby animals? But sometimes these adorable creatures really need our help. Let's celebrate wild animals, learn about them, and do what we can to help them. All right. Well, we're on again with Lorianne Bird, who is the Environmental Health Director for the Center for Biological Diversity. Hi, Lori.
Hi.
Lorianne. forgive me. And Lorianne has the cool last name Bird, which for what she does, I still think is really cool. Even though you spell
it. I like
a little
it too.
You didn't name yourself that one because it's spelled B-U-R-D, but you know.
That's right.
Anyway, so today we're going to talk about neonicotinoids.
Mm-hmm.
And like their effect on wildlife and obviously pollinators. We hear this in conjunction with colony collapse disorder and other issues with honeybees, correct?
That's right.
So what's the latest?
Oh, well, the latest is that we're waiting on the White House Pollinator Task Force to release their report and give us some sense of how aggressive of action they anticipate taking to help with our pollinator crisis. So
I know
that's what we're waiting for right at this moment.
I know I've signed some petition to go to the White House regarding
that
this.
That was it then.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are great at taking action on this stuff, and I know there's a lot going. Now, tell us a little bit about neonicotinoids and what they are, and how they, you know, how they do get into the ecosystem and affect wildlife.
Sure. So neonicotinoids are systemic insecticides, which means that they're taken up in a plant, and the entire plant becomes insecticidal if the seed is treated,
right.
Which is the most common way that neonicotinoids are used. So they're in a a systemic insecticide. They're very potent. They're 4 of the 6 approved neonicotinoids are considered highly toxic to bees. They're the most commonly used insecticide today. They're highly persistent in the environment.
Yeah.
And their major uses of seed treatments, so over 90% of neonicotinoid acreage in use is as a seed treatment, which means that seeds are dipped in the insecticide prior to being sold, and then they're kind of sold already treated with the insecticide, and so then the whole plant is sort of prophylactically insecticidal.
Wow. Now, yeah. Is that considered genetically engineering?
No, it's not.
Okay.
No, because it's just a surface dip. They're not going into the cell structure. However, many GE crops are also treated with neonicotinoids.
Really?
Yeah.
Another...
The vast majority of commercial crops are neonicotinoid treated. So 99% of corn and most kind of commodity crops, wheat, those kinds of things.
Right, right.
Are usually treated with these neonicotinoid seed coatings. And interestingly, the federal government just released a report several months ago finding that neonicotinoid treatment did nothing to improve yield of soybeans, helped farmers in no way whatsoever.
Oh, good. So
we are using them on hundreds of millions of acres and poisoning the pollinators on hundreds of millions of acres as a result of that exposure, and we're not even seeing benefits, at least for soybeans.
Wow.
And we'll have more studies on their yield impacts on other crops. But neonicotinoids work to harm pollinators kind of in two main ways. The first is acute toxicity. Many people have heard about the incident in Oregon 2 years ago when 50,000 bumblebees dropped dead after a neonicotinoid was sprayed on some trees that were in bloom that they were visiting. So there are those kinds of acute toxicity incidents where you have a pile of bodies on the ground. Very often these things don't happen above parking lots, so you don't actually end up finding the pile of bodies. And so we can guess that there are tons of massive bee kills happening all the time.
Yeah.
And we just don't know about them because they're not happening over a paved surface.
Right.
But the really insidious one that actually has probably the most significant population scale effects is the way the really insidious issue is the subacute toxicity, which we also sometimes call delayed mortality.
Right.
And that's when a pollinator or other species is exposed to even a tiny amount of neonicotinoids. So not the big spraying incidents, but just flying over a field where the plants are treated with neonics and maybe stopping and having some nectar at a plant. So those kinds of small exposures. And what happens is even at a very low dosage, pollinators like honeybees and bumblebees will experience really significant effects, like decreased foraging ability, reduced reproductive success.
It's like they get depressed.
Well, their entire brain function gets messed up, and so oftentimes they just don't find their way home.
Aww.
So they just don't come home at the end of the day.
It seems kind of sad.
It's really sad. They just lose their ability to navigate, and they'll just die these slow deaths.
Very depressing. Yeah, I've heard that some of these things can also suppress their immune system and make them more vulnerable to other issues.
That's absolutely right, A recent study actually just showed that colonies exposed to one neonicotinoid in particular are much more likely to get overrun by fungus and also by wasps. So I'm not saying that neonicotinoids are the sole cause of our pollinator problems, but when you have something that's weakening a pollinator's entire brain function and impacting its reproductive success, its immunity, and all those things, then all the other factors, like a really hard winter or fungus or wasps,
they don't have as much defense.
More significant threat.
Now, what about things like bats? Their pollinators, are they affected by these things?
So because neonicotinoid use became so widespread so quickly, the rate of science coming out is incredibly fast, but still not keeping up with the effects.
Right.
And so there's more and more coming out every day. I'm finding some new study that was just published that's giving us really important information. We do know that neonics are really harmful to birds, and there are significant population level decreases of birds in areas of heavy neonicotinoid use. We know that even one corn kernel treated with a neonicotinoid seed coating is enough to kill a songbird.
Oh, no!
Yeah, so they're really highly toxic, and when you think about the millions of acres in the U.S. planted with corn, you can kind of get a sense of the environmental crisis I'm talking about
here.
No,
we're neonics.
And bats, of course, eat bugs, so they're going to bioaccumulate in bats, so I imagine we'll be seeing more and more on bats.
Well, so there were these weird bird die-offs. I don't know if they ever had any explanation where, like, hundreds of birds just, like, fall out of the sky, sort of like the bee thing. Do you know if neonicotinoids were at all involved with that?
I've not heard that.
Okay.
But there are plenty of studies coming out showing that neonicotinoids are having significant impact
so
on birds.
So what would you tell our listeners to do if they're concerned? Obviously, they can go to the Center for Biological Diversity, which is biologicaldiversity.org?
That's right. Yeah, you can go to our website and sign up for our newsletter, and that way you can get our action alerts.
Yes.
Another great thing people can do is when you go to your local nursery and buy plants, ask if those plants have been treated with neonicotinoids. Many nurseries are selling plants, even plants labeled as pollinator-friendly, that have been treated with neonicotinoids, so they're actually luring the pollinators in and then killing them as a result of their exposure to the neonicotinoids right there.
Well,
so by asking, you're really making a difference and letting them know that they need to make sure that they're carrying plants. And then the final thing is choosing organic food, because organic food can't be treated with neonicotinoids.
Yeah.
So whenever you can,
going
with that lower chemical option really
helps. So vote with your dollar against neonicotinoids. And I know for us, when we buy any plants that we haven't started our own seedlings for gardening and vegetables or whatever, I mean, we go out of our way to try to find organic, and it's getting easier and easier. It used to be pretty difficult.
Yeah, well,
so
that's awesome. Keep it up, because the more people ask, the more they have to meet that demand.
Well, great job, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again, and you know, keep up the great work. And everybody, I know that you'll go to biologicaldiversity.org, but you'll also probably see some stuff along with this this podcast with more information and links. Thanks so much, Lorianne.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Green Divas Heart Wildlife. Please visit thegreendivas.com, that's T-H-E, greendivas.com, to learn more about wildlife, nature, and a whole lot more.
The equator is known as the clearly marked boundary between the northern and southern hemispheres, but global warming is slowly flip-flopping climates. More after this.
Everyone wants to be a part of the green movement, and that's a great thing. Going green takes on a whole new meaning when you add tall grass beef to your family's dinner table. It's tender and juicy, and since the cattle graze on the natural grasslands of Kansas, it's also loaded with essential fatty acids and omega-3s that regular grain-fed beef lacks. It's good for you and your family, and good for the earth. For more information and to order tall grass beef online, go to www.tallgrassbeef.com.
An international group of 21 authors from 17 institutions in 7 countries has just published a study showing that as the cover of snow and ice in the northern latitudes has shrunk in recent years, the temperature over the northern landmass has increased at different rates during the 4 seasons. In other words, the temperature and vegetation at northern latitudes increasingly resembles those found several degrees of latitude farther south. Scientists are not sure what all these changes will mean for humans, but one thing is for sure. What Charles Darwin declared in 1859, it is not the strongest of the species that survive, but the one most responsive to change. I'm Bill Curtis with Earth Matters.
vibrant health and beauty radiates from the inside out. Get your glow on with Green Diva's health and beauty tips, from natural skincare to creating healthier habits that make us sparkle. Hey, everybody. Green Diva's health and beauty, and this time we are the experts.
Yes, we are.
Well, we have just survived rain, and I'm sort of joking about that. Actually, we thrived through. We sort of followed Rainbow Mars's 21-day superstar cleanse. Are you a superstar, Lynn?
I am feeling like a superstar, but my stomach's saying, "What in the world are you doing?"
My stomach's like, what?
No, I've been feeling great.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. And I am on my last day today, and I chose to do the juice only day today.
Yeah, that was a killer day for me. I'm what, 2 days ahead of you? I finished on Saturday. Saturday was my last day, so this
and
is
you were
day
like
23.
Doing energetic like cartwheels. You were writing like, oh, I feel so good.
I know. Like, I was feeling awesome.
I'm not there yet.
And I still am, except that today I've been putting. I put some. I had some toast, and
got it.
Then I was chowing down on these coconut and chocolate. They're raw. And it's all, organic and all that stuff. But my stomach's not used to eating
food.
Like my stomach eats.
Yeah.
My stomach's not used to chewed or unchewed food or whatever. I chewed it, but, it wasn't blended.
True to form, I didn't really thoroughly. I read a lot of it before because I had spoken to her. And you're going to hear that interview today. She is just so cool. I really.
Yeah,
and we had
she's super cool.
So much fun meeting her. But, so I had read a lot of it, and I read the recipes, and I kind of left out some of the meat in the middle, you know what I mean? No pun intended.
Yeah, I didn't really read any of it. I think I read the intro. That was about it.
Well, I read the recipes.
Before starting the cleanse, of course, I did read it.
And I was like, oh, my God, these recipes are fantastic. They're very familiar because I've eaten this way before. I'm familiar with it.
Yeah.
And
I've done a lot of raw vegan stuff.
So my daughter volunteers, my 22-year-old who's home from college. She's like, let's do it together, Mommy. So it's a Mommy and Me cleanse. And we're both like gung-ho. And she is so cute. I didn't realize she was such a rule follower. I don't know why I didn't really know that about her. But she's like, reading the book diligently every morning. Like, this is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, my God. I had no idea.
Yeah, I was kind of jealous. I felt like I needed somebody like doing that with me.
Well, like because that. Let me just say that, to really do this thing, you really need to almost take time off because it's very, to do it properly, there's a lot of self-nurturing and other aspects other than the food.
Mm-hmm.
That takes a lot of time. And I just want to say the food stuff, when done right, takes a lot of time. Just
but
the food.
It's absolutely delicious.
Oh,
some of
gosh.
The stuff, even getting into the blended, the first week was vegan. Second week was
more
all
raw.
Yeah. And the third week blended was, there were some amazing recipes in her book, and I also found a couple other ones out there.
Yeah.
Which I never thought, I've never made anything with raw sweet potato before, and there was a crazy good recipe for that.
Well, I went to that recipe, and it did call for cooked, so I cooked some, and I flipped out. I lost it in the mush week, the blended week, and
yeah, you did.
I did. I had to eat a little bit of, cooked food. I just couldn't do it.
Losing it during the going to the raw because I was having enough trouble figuring out how to just eat vegan, cutting out all of that stuff. That was a new thing for me. So then to find out, oh my God, this week's supposed to be raw, and I bought all this stuff, so I kind of had to phase into that raw week.
Well,
I was getting really cranky because it was something so new to me.
And it's a lot. It is a lot of work. You have to concentrate. And I have done this before and I'm familiar. So I was able to improvise a little bit. Like, every once in a while we wouldn't read ahead properly the day before and find out that we needed some soaked nuts or something. Or, you're like, oh, man, I forgot to soak my nuts. So I was able to improvise fairly well because I do understand a lot of this way of cooking.
Yeah, you've soaked nuts. You soak nuts all the time.
Yeah, I do. I always have some cashews in some process.
Cashew milk.
Yeah. So I was able to do, you know, it wasn't as hard for me in that regard, but
right.
It was hard to maintain the level of work you and I do,
mm-hmm.
and the focus and the sort of, wow, I was like, okay, I need to take a break.
Yeah, fortunately, we were both doing it at the same time because
yeah.
I think your patience with me would have been...
And vice versa, because we're both like, I think it's time for a nap.
Oh, the day I did the juice, I was like a zombie. That was a really rough one for me, that juice day.
Well, so if I sound kind of, you know, spaced out, that would be why, because I'm on my juice day, and I really do want to take a nap.
Yeah.
Just
well,
saying.
I'm gonna take a nap.
I'm going to take a nap. But the whole thing was well put together, and I like that. You know, not that we followed it all in detail, my daughter and I, but we did, you know, really read and try to do some of the poses, the yoga poses she gives and the
yeah,
daily.
Yeah, I like that whole daily
yeah.
reading.
Yeah.
You know, one with a yoga pose and kind of some inspirational
yeah.
words and, you know, questions at the end of each section. So
yeah.
you can really ponder. You know, what was this all about? What did I learn? I mean, there was some mental stuff going on, definitely.
Yeah, I won't lie that this, and other times that I have done this type of cleanse, it brings up emotional and mental stuff, mm-hmm. along with physical, but I've been able to maintain my yoga and my running, and I've lost, I know you didn't do it for weight loss, but for me, I am sort of trying to clean out so that I can get some of that going, and I have lost a significant amount of weight, so I am feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
And my husband's very happy, put it that way. So anyway, Rainbow Mars 21-day superstar cleanse.
Yeah, totally worth it, and it's a lot of great information.
And she's very flexible. It's also not very rigid, so you don't have to be freaked out.
Right.
Yeah, so she's got a very, very wonderful way of presenting it so that it's easy and, you know.
I give it the green and healthy thumbs up.
Yes, me too. The Green Diva, thumbs up. Yay, Rainbow. Well, stay tuned, folks, to listen to my interview with Rainbow coming up next. Bye-bye.
Yay.
Are you sparkling yet? Well, you will be. For information on this segment and lots of other healthy green living information, visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
The Green Divas get to talk to so many inspiring people, who each in their own way is helping us find a deeper shade of green. Here's just one of them. Enjoy.
Well, I am excited to finally get a chance to speak on the air because I got to meet her not too long ago, the beautiful Rainbow Mars, who really just vibrates with such wonderful energy. She is a yogi, author, wellness advocate. She is now the Global Green Global Wellness Ambassador for LA. She's just a cool, groovy girl. Hi, Rainbow.
Hi, thank you for having me, Megan.
And, you know, when we were there, it was so magical being with you in your beautiful, beautiful home, which is, I called it sort of like a Buddhist sanctuary in the middle of Beverly Hills, you know. And you know, you did a little yoga with us, and we got to meet your kitty, your velvety, adorable kitty.
Oliver, he's so cute.
Thank you. I couldn't remember his name. But among other things, and we did a little meditation grounding, chakra balancing with you. But you handed me your book, and you signed it to me, so I feel extra special. 21-Day Superstar Cleanse. And, you know, I just have to tell you, I get these books all the time, and they're usually lovely. But for some reason, I picked this up, and I was flipping through it, and I thought, ooh, ooh, ooh. And I relate it. I do a lot of the things in there, but not necessarily consistently. And your way of weaving in sort of a mantra for the day or the toolkit that gives me some really good ideas and the yoga pose, it's just really, like I just really want to do this. So me and my daughter, Mary, are going to do this.
Yay. How old is Mary?
Mary is 22. She just graduated from college.
Great.
So it's a mommy and me thing.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I really, that's the thing, is women that are pregnant or nursing or even children, it's like the idea of a cleanse might have some buttons pushed, but this program is truly to get us all an idea of zero-calorie restriction, nourishing our bodies, eating really amply, but at the same time being disciplined and not doing certain things that are making us sick, whether rapidly or slowly. So it's really for everyone. In fact, we're doing a free 14-day health challenge June 20th.
Oh, yeah?
For, you know, no chemicals. It's a more like 101 version of the book. And the book just gives you options to go to take it to a level for yourself, to customize a program to get the results and benefits that you'd like to see.
Which is, you know, exactly right. And that's it's sort of like a good yoga class. All the best couple of yoga teachers that spring to mind, and I know this is something that you do, so, you know, the best teachers always, you know, give you all these different levels, and if you feel comfortable there, you can try this, and if you feel comfortable there, you can try this. And that always gave me sort of a safe place to be like, okay, I can't today, but it's okay that I can't, and maybe tomorrow I will.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that sort of very, how do I put it, inclusive, easy way of making everybody feel comfortable wherever they are.
Yeah, I think of myself, or any of us really, it's like a river guide. Like we're the ones guiding, saying like, okay, everyone, now look at the birds, or, you know, look at, there's going to be some rough rapids, you know, hold on tighter. But like what you do and what your experience might be, how many times you actually took a river boating ride, or just, you know, how you feel about it. It's really up to you. You could close your eyes the whole time and not be part of it, or you could really engage.
Or you could scream through the whole thing.
Or you could scream. What's been so interesting as I've shared this, and especially the name, originally this book was called 21 Day Fresh Start, and then it was 21 Days to Your Superstar Glow, which I actually liked because that's what it is to me. But
right.
The word cleanse is such like a thing that people are always talking around at the coolers, at the offices. So we came up with that name because we thought, you know, everyone would know what it meant. But even in like yoga schools that I've gone and talked to about the book, it's like the word cleanse is like, oh, difficult, hard.
Yeah.
And I guess, can we redefine that possibility that you can do a cleanse? And the program is effective. Even when I actually commit to doing it, I experience many detoxification symptoms, but it doesn't need to be, not every program is about something that's so restrictive that you're dying and, you know, it's really hard.
Oh, no, no, no. I have to tell you, I looked immediately, because that's one of the first things I would do, is flip back to some of the recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that looks like I want to make them now, you know.
Yeah.
They look so fun and colorful and nourishing. And, you know, when I give myself the space to do that, mm-hmm. I really enjoy it. And just every level of my being is happier. But,
absolutely.
You know, it's so easy to get kind of, you know, I know you're very busy in your world, and in what I do, it's sometimes hard to be as mindful about making sure that I'm, you know, preparing food properly and giving myself the space to prepare healthy food, you know?
Well, you know, the garden is greener where we water it. I've changed out grass, as you've noticed. So wherever we water, and we tend to like, okay, I'm going to go have someone else make me food, or I don't have time, and I'm going to go put my energy into that thing or that person or that, you know, even whatever we do. So to really take the time for ourselves where we almost have a bubble around whatever we're doing, and we just take care of ourselves first and make sure that we put those things in, like we line up those things that we need, the snacks for the day, or we know we're going to go get this food to go from this restaurant possibly. I mean, you don't have to make all of your own things. This program is actually designed to be able to do it in the world, to go to a grocery store and to find something wherever you go. But just to make, for a particular time when you do a commitment, to make decisions that are going to be aligning with yourself so that your body has a chance to let go and heal and rejuvenate from the toxins, the stresses, and the emotional, just hopefully the emotional dramas that we tend to absorb that kills us slowly.
Well, it's funny because my daughter was looking through the book and she's like, "Oh, Mom, we got to make this." And she's my little foodie. She loves juicing with me. We've come up with a new juice recipe together. But she was reading the commitments. She's like, and of course, the minute I heard that word, I'm like, oh, no, this is because I take that seriously. But as we read through them together and they're beautiful. And I'm like, oh, but I already do that. Oh, and I already do that. So it made me feel like, oh, this is not as hard for me because I'm already doing a lot of it. Mm-hmm. But none of them were restrictive. And that's, I think, one of the important things that comes through. And that's the word that I think so many of these cleanses or things tend to be in people's minds restrictive.
Yeah. And you can make it restrictive in ways that you want, but like it the commitments make a difference. I feel like I'm pretty healthy most of the time. And then when I'm actually doing the program, you know, it's like, not right now. That cake is going to be there in 21 days.
Right,
that
right.
piece of chicken that I just decided that I need for the first time all year is going to be there. Like, I don't need to do it right now.
Right.
So, it just gives me this, you know, the butter that I want on my vegan waffle, all these the chemicals because I just decided to take the tester at the Barney's or whatever, to name labels.
Yeah.
The chemicals are going to be there even in 2 weeks. So it's just to really say, and you know, there's always going to be a 5% slip up where you just go, okay, and I had this. You're going to break some rules in it, but mostly, if you stick with the commitments and you align with what your intention is and just kind of keep remembering that it does really take 21 days to make or break a pattern. And it's like a slowly, I think, a fulfilling paced journey that you don't feel, I don't know, like it's not like a roller coaster ride. It should feel at the end of the trip that your metabolism is rejuvenated, your skin is clear, you're more energized, and you didn't even realize that you did a cleanse. Like, hopefully that's our intention with it. And kids, it's safe for kids, too, so it's really exciting.
Well, it is. And there was something I was going to say, and I completely lost it. So we'll just move on. It'll come back. Now, one of the things you talk about is pH balance and the importance of pH balance. And I have been kind of focused on that for a couple of years, but you want to talk about that a little?
Yeah, well, acidity versus alkalinity is, people that are really open and flexible often are a little more towards the alkaline side. And as I'm eating alkalizing foods, I can literally feel that happen to me. I can feel myself gain my flexibility, and I also start to connect to the areas of my body that are like these dense blockages of, really, am I holding on to that baggage? Like, I start to notice these other areas.
Yeah.
And so acid, things that are acids are nuts and meats. So nuts are more towards the alkaline state side if they're raw. But they're sugar, alcohol, like especially white refined sugar. These are very acidic, so they constrict us and contract our bodies, and they're not so alkaline. Things that are alkaline are greens and fresh squeezed fruits and juices, etc., vegetables. And so you want a balance. Obviously, if you're only eating fruit ever and you're feeling really spaced out and you're forgetting what you were talking about, your keys, you just don't have like any integration, any muscular energy in your body, that could be going too far.
Right.
However, most of us are a little more on the constricted side. So it's nice to do a program. So whatever you're doing, even if you said, oh, that live foods, that makes you too spaced out or too vata, or live foods aren't good for me, even though this program isn't necessarily live foods, it can also just be vegan. My husband has done it 6 or 7 times, cut his cholesterol medicine in half, and he's just done the vegan route. But then it's going to make you more, it's going to cleanse out the acids. So the way the detoxification happens is your colon releases, then your organs, then your bloodstream, and then your lymph. And what is being replaced is a newer level on a cellular level of just fresh, clean, rejuvenated cells, and hopefully ones that are full of a higher pH.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Right, right. No, it does. And that, I remembered what I was going to say about the 21-day thing and that, okay, that being significant, because I thought to myself, yeah, when you were talking about, ah, that chicken, or I want to, you know, use this. But like, you can do anything for 3 weeks. It's not like the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And I think if people keep that in mind, and it helps me. But I also remember learning 21 days, like, that your subconscious, like, you know, things really can shift if you're focused for 21 days.
I've
done
it. 21 days to make or break a pattern in addiction, coming over addiction programs, like taking methadone after heroin. If you skip your methadone on the 21st day, you have to start all over again.
Wow.
So it's like it really takes 21 days to make and also break a pattern. And you will be able to keep certain things you learn. You'll feel so good if you actually follow the steps that you're like, okay, I'm going to keep this with me.
Yeah.
And maybe eventually it slips a little bit, but then that's why I keep doing it. We do this 4 times a year just to keep implementing it into our neurons and our brain. And sometimes it's a little harder and sometimes it's easier depending on what season it is,
right,
where we are.
Yeah.
But I highly recommend that we, just like we'll clean our house regularly, that we do the same to our system, because unfortunately we don't live in a clean environment. Even if you eat all whole foods, there are chemicals in the air. There's just a lot of junk that we, you know, all of a sudden use the other type of sweeteners that are made from chemicals, and we just, our bodies don't know what to do with a lot of the stuff that we are ingesting, and we're actually expected to get degenerative diseases and end up in hospitals, and we are going to die. Like, that is, so I said that earlier, like, eventually we all will leave our bodies, and that's part of the process, but it's how we do it and how we learn to take care of this vehicle and have some type of a mastery over our physical vehicle that carries us around through our spiritual development, and to learn how to really go into the deeper channels of our system into and let the lymph nodes release the disharmonious cells, often, you know, free radicals that our liver just can't find the time to process, and to let it all go so that we can keep rejuvenating ourselves. Every 7 years, every single cell of our bodies are completely new. So if we are working in a way that's rejuvenating, we get to, you know, keep rebirthing and becoming new again.
Well,
it's spring.
I love it. And I know I had been in a routine of cleanses about 10 years ago. And, you know, they're sort of similar. And some of the things that I do, I've kept with me, like the liver drink, you know, the apple cider vinegar, hot water with lemon stuff I've been doing for years. But I like to think of it as a liver vacation.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because it's like like you said, the environment, even if you eat perfectly, all organic, you know, purified water, just living here. We are ingesting, we're surrounded in our homes with things, you know, most of us are, no matter how clean we think we are. That's just the world, you know.
Yeah, not to mention just our negativity. We're watching maybe gossip TV or magazines, or being angry, or, you know, getting into dramatic experiences. And we request, or we invite us all, is to look at that during the period for ourselves. And what are our thoughts? What are our affirmations? Is it aligning with who we really are? And even if you didn't do the food thing, that might be something. Someone might be a master at food already, and it's like, okay, well, how's this piece? There's always something to work on.
Always.
But I never mentioned cooked oils. So even in the whole world, like I am, like I love like a lot of the exotic foods, and even cooked olive oil can be, you know, toxic and very acidic for our system.
I know.
So finding alternatives to these things can be helpful.
Well, and in general, I think it's one thing to do this for 21 days, which is brilliant, and to carry some of it into our lives. But, you know, and my goal is to just do more and more of this, like you said, between times.
Yes.
So great.
It's agreed, but we would never say, okay, now you need to be like this for a year. That's just, you know, try it. If you could do something for 21 days, the 14-day health challenge that we do in the summer is an easy version of, you know, it's more for kids, because the kids, they don't drink coffee yet, or alcohol, or smoke pot, or so they don't even have to go through step one. You know, they just can kind of, for 14 days, can I eat more plant-based? Can I eat more live foods?
Yeah.
And just can I stay away from chemicals and fried foods and white bread? It's kind of simple. Or if you're eating animals, where is it coming from? It's not that we're saying to eat animals, but if you are, we should all definitely know where our food is coming from. If it's from a factory where they just took out a cancer, if it was super unhappy, you are absorbing whatever you're putting in your body. It's becoming part of your physical, not just like the muscle mass that you are inside your colon, but it's your consciousness.
Yes.
You're thinking, but why am I so stressed out? Well, the animal that you just ate was probably stressed out.
Yeah.
So, like, if you have to absolutely eat meat, you should really investigate where it's coming from. Same thing with your eggs, same thing with your dairy. You know, if we're not part of the solution, we're part of the problem. So on an environmental level, to know that there's an entire full spectrum of possibilities and options, that you will be fully satisfied and nourished making other alternatives and not just, like, you know, feeding into this machine that is destroying not just our planet but our bodies, is a really great thing to learn. So I recommend we all do it.
I'm gonna write about it, and we'll catch up when I have finally done this with my daughter.
Oh, great.
And
Thank you.
We'll have a mommy and me rainbow check-in.
And if you ever want to do it, you know, we do lead groups too, so we're happy to involve you in one of those groups. It's funner because there's, is that a word? It's more fun because there's a group of people, and sometimes people are blogging about it. But it's great that you have your daughter. So if you, I always recommend a partner or a group or something. So.
Yeah. Well, and it, just to real quick, like if you had said this was a 1 year Superstall cleanse, I'm sorry, I don't think anybody would buy the book.
Yeah.
So 21 days. I mean, and then it's just the photographs, people, you know, and she so clearly illustrates what, you know, your own beautiful demonstrations of the yoga, but your mantras and affirmations. It's a beautiful book.
Thank you. Even if you try it for 5 days, even if you just have the book, by the way, and you just say, okay, I'm going to try this recipe, or I'm feeling in a rut, so I'm going to do this affirmation, or I'm going to read this poem or read through it first.
Yeah.
That can help. You know, it's better than not starting somewhere.
Exactly. Well, again, it's wonderful to talk to you.
I'm looking
forward to talking more and hopefully seeing you next trip out west.
I look forward to that as well. Or maybe I'll be out in the East Coast.
Oh, well, then we'll have to party in my neck of the woods if you're near New York.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hope you enjoyed that as much as they did. Please visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. For more fun podcasts and information on the Green Divas and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Swell Radio, and Spreaker. Get social with the Green Divas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Subscribe to the Green Divas YouTube channel to watch them in action. And for all the latest good green news, visit thegreendivas.com. That's THEGreenDivas.com.